Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I am your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Blessed, bro. Blessed.
Amen. Amen. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Praising the Lord.
Amen. Well, praise God for you guys that are here with us today.
And Chad, how are you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty well.
Praise God, bro. You look good, man.
I'm doing pretty well.
We're all smiling in Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Even though this is going to be a more somber topic.
Yeah, tough one.
I think when it comes to a number of these topics that we discuss, you know, false teachers and things like that, it can be difficult to talk about. You know, you're thinking about people's eternal destinies and all that, and then we talk about what we're going to be talking about, planned murderhood, and it can be really difficult. And you guys are going to hear a clip, and I'm going to be honest, we're not even going to get to that just yet. You guys are going to be hearing a clip on this show that is a doctor explaining what it really is like to have an abortion.
A doctor used to perform them. So.
And yeah, by the thousands, right? Yeah. And you guys are going to get to hear that. And I just want to put that warning out at the beginning of the episode before we really get into it. Because, hey, maybe you think, hey, maybe I had an abortion and I've repented, but I just have a tough time with that. We know a lot of ladies that are like that. Hey, I just can't handle this
stuff. Absolutely.
So I don't want to just throw that out at you and randomly put it into the episode.
It's a two-minute deal, so when it comes in, if you need to check out for 2 minutes, we understand. But if you can handle it, it's good to understand what's going on there.
And the whole point of this episode, and the whole point of a lot of these episodes, is that we can stir something up inside of you. Stir something up inside of you that says,
amen,
wait a second, I want to do more. Babies are being murdered. We should be pulling our hair out. This is crazy what's going on. Babies are being murdered. What can we do? And the reason why this all comes up is because a lot of you guys, I know for me included, and I'll tell you this, my age range, maybe you can guess where I'm at just by me saying when I would stay home from school, I knew if I turned on Channel 2, you know, it would be on there. The Price is Right and Bob Barker. And then after high school and after I came to the Lord, Drew Carey became the host. And just recently, they've been doing shows to provide money for different organizations and nonprofits. And of course, they got to have a tranny come out and do a whole brigade with probably the most famous tranny of all time, RuPaul. And so I'll play the clip so they can do their warm welcome for RuPaul. And you guys can hear what she, not what he, wanted to donate to.
Legendary drag queen RuPaul made a special appearance during a special primetime episode of The Price is Right at Night on Monday, and the Emmy-winning creator of RuPaul's Drag Race was hoping to raise a lot of money for charity.
I am playing for Planned Parenthood, which provides vital and often free services for both men and women.
Yeah, vital and often free services for men and women. So what do you think about that, getting money to Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, he says, well, I'm playing for Planned Parenthood, which provides vital and often free services to both men and women, and services against millions of babies to assure that we're able to kill them in the womb and butcher them. No, it doesn't say. He doesn't go on to say that. He only says part of what they do, and a lot of those services is the murder of babies. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely reprehensible. I mean, what did he win? Almost $100,000?
Yep, close to $100,000.
Interesting, it was right after Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's even sicker, Tony.
That's the timing of it.
And you know that Planned Parenthood obviously posted a happy Mother's Day, which how absolutely disgusting do you have to be.
The twisted irony, right? $97,266 for Planned Parenthood. Carrie announced at the end of the broadcast.
It's just heartbreaking to think about that and that they would allow that on even on their show. It's absolutely reprehensible. And I know that we're not the only ones saying that. I think there was a lot of people on Twitter even that came out against it.
Oh, yeah. There were some, you know, cheering them on, you know, for providing money to kill babies. And there were others who, you know, let me read a few of the Twitter ones. Some I got from Yahoo. Some I got from the Christian News Network. Had a really good article on this. learning that RuPaul was on The Price is Right, raising money bag for Planned Parenthood, which provides compassionate health care to people of all genders in a parentheses, right? Makes me actually want to start watching Price is Right. Thanks, RuPaul. So you had some people supporting, you know, which is just sick. It's like saying, you know, knowing that so-and-so was on this Nazi, you know, this pro-Nazi, this game show that was pro-Nazi, had pro-Nazi day. So, and funding the Nazis to kill more Jews. This is just such a beautiful thing.
And you say that, which is really interesting when you think RuPaul comes from a African-American descent. And one of my favorite guys that's out there that campaigns against Planned Parenthood and against abortion and is very pro-family is a football player by the name of Benjamin Watson.
Yeah,
and I have an interview here where he is one of the few who has called out Planned Parenthood, and we have an entire DVD. We put a lot of resources in making a DVD to prove this point. In fact, if you look at the back of The Dark Secrets of Planned Parenthood, which Tony will put a link up there for you guys, if you look at the back cover of it, it's Margaret Sanger, the founder of it, standing before the KKK. And I wanted to read this quote. After Benjamin Watson, the football player, he was a Super Bowl champion with the Patriots.
African-American as well.
He was African-American. He has 7 children of his own. He just lost 2 of them. I don't know if he just lost 2 of them. I know they had 2 miscarriages, but his wife just did a wonderful interview on the Christian Post regarding Mother's Day and encouraging mothers, women not to kill their babies, and also encouraged mothers on to raise their children to know the Lord. But he did an interview where he was talking about the racial divide in America, and he was talking about a unique insight. The guy asked him about a unique insight he had about race factoring in an abortion, and he said, "I wouldn't say I have any unique insight. I do know that blacks kind of represent a large portion of the abortions, and I do know that honestly, the whole idea with Planned Parenthood and Sanger in the past was to exterminate blacks.
That's right.
And it's kind of ironic that it's working. We as minorities support candidates and overwhelmingly support the idea of having Planned Parenthood and the like, and yet that is why she created it. We are buying it." Hook, line, and sinker. It's a great thing. It's just amazing to me. And abortion saddens me, period. But it seems to be something that is really pushed on minorities and provided to minorities, especially as something that they should do.
Yeah, we show several quotes, documented quotes, where she was, you know, celebrating, you know, the whole eugenicist idea of wiping out certain races. And she specifically targeted black neighborhoods. And we go into some really... And we probably don't have time for all the quotes here. So if you haven't seen The Dark Secrets of Planned Parenthood, we really encourage you to check it out, because we produced that specifically. I think it's only an hour long. It's not a super long video.
35 minutes, I think. 30 minutes.
That's our shortest video by far then. But it packs a wallop, you know. But listen to this. This is fabulous. Mrs. M, her comments on her Twitter. It was watching tonight's episode, giving away $97,000 to Planned Parenthood. She says, you have got to be kidding me. You've lost a lifelong fan. Scarlett, Price Right on CBS is raising money to abort babies in caps tonight in primetime. All money raised goes to Planned Parenthood. The time is now, states. Tell me if I'm wrong, but The Price is Right is a disgrace. They raised $97,000 plus for Planned Parenthood with their evening show tonight. How many lives will be lost because of this? They celebrate the deaths. Another one at Price is Right's great. You gave a pile of money to baby killers. Isn't that special? Nothing says game show, another one writes, like raising money for a $2 billion abortion business responsible for killing 345,672 humans last year alone, writes that's Ryan Bomberger. You know, it is absolutely disgusting.
No, and I think this is a great time to point this out. And like I said, we were gonna warn you guys.
Man. Funny murder
and
of babies.
We can use the word abortion, and we can throw out a number like that, 356,000 or whatever the number actually is, because I'm sure it's higher than that. But we could throw out these numbers and then forget that these are little babies, and we can forget what goes on in an abortion. And there's a doctor, as we mentioned earlier, that I'm gonna let him explain through this, and Tony will put a link to the video as well, so you can watch the video.
Because he shows the mechanizations and so forth. Pretty sick.
And you can just listening to it, I'm sure, will suffice for exactly what you need to hear here. So, Tony, let's check that out.
At 20 weeks gestation is as big as the length of my hand, from head to rump, not counting the legs. The suction machine is turned on, and pale yellow amniotic fluid surrounding the baby is suctioned out through the catheters. But babies this big, they don't fit through catheters this size. The baby's bones and skull are too strong to be torn apart by suction alone. This is a sofa clamp. A sofa clamp is made of stainless steel. It's about 13 inches long. The business end is about 2.5 inches long and 1/2 inch wide, and there are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. The abortionist uses this clamp to grasp an arm or leg. Once he has a firm grip, the abortionist pulls hard in order to tear the limb from the baby's body. One by one, the rest of the limbs are removed, along with the intestines, the spine, and the heart and lungs. Usually the most difficult part of the procedure is extracting the baby's head, which is about the size of a large plum at 20 weeks. The head is grasped and crushed. The abortionist knows he has crushed the skull when a white substance comes out of the cervix. This was the baby's brains. The abortionist then removes skull pieces. He removes the placenta and any leftover parts of the baby with a curette, scraping the lining of the uterus for any remaining tissue. The abortionist then collects the baby parts and reassembles them to make sure that there are 2 arms, 2 legs, and all the pieces. Once all the parts have been accounted for, the abortion is complete. For the woman, this procedure carries a significant risk of major complications, including perforation or laceration of the uterus or cervix, with possible damage to the bowel, bladder, and other maternal organs. Infection and hemorrhage can also occur, which can even lead to death. Future pregnancies are also at greater risk for loss or premature delivery due to abortion-related trauma and injury to the cervix. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm Dr. Anthony Levitino, and in the early part of my career as an OBGYN, I performed over 1,200 abortions. One day, after completing one of those abortions, I looked at the remains of a preborn child whose life I had ended, and all I could see was someone's son or daughter. I came to realize that killing a baby at any stage of pregnancy for any reason is wrong. I want you to know today, no matter where you're at or what you've done, you can change. Make a decision today to protect the preborn. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, just hearing that, I mean, it's bone chilling. One, I just, at the end, we want you to come to Jesus is the most important thing. Whether, you know, you could be pro-life all the way to hell. So the most important thing is that you come to know the risen Savior. But guys, I do. I want to encourage you. We're talking about this. We have a number of people from our fellowship that love to go out on the front lines and be out in front of the abortion clinics. Joe and I were just recently out in front of the abortion clinics in another country, actually, yeah. And then spoke with somebody who was from Germany whose friend was having an abortion. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I remember that we were sitting there sharing the gospel with this young lady as her friend was having an abortion. And we later were at dinner with the father that we were with, and not of that child, but of a friend out there. And they received a text message of what the baby was going to be gender-wise. It was going to be a little daughter of their daughter.
Yeah, the irony there.
And the babies that was being murdered in the building right behind us was of the same age as the baby that was in the womb. They just found out, you know, at dinner later that night. So it was very difficult. And our friend there in Holland, we love him. And he was showing us videos of a boy that he's the godfather of, because he's a car salesman. And it's one of those things, whatever the Lord puts your hand, do with all your might and do it for the glory of God. And he's a car salesman. And what he did is he told someone, I'll figure out a way to get you a car if you don't kill this baby. And he did. And the baby now lives and is now, you know, a friend of theirs as well, a beautiful little boy. So it's just some cool stories. Sad, but there's something you can do. That's what I want to get across.
And we shared the gospel with that gal, and I don't know. I think I got talked to her for like 40 minutes, half hour, something like that.
Yeah.
And I basically, you know, I wanted her to get convicted because it was like nonchalant, something we're doing, hanging out, you know, just bringing my friend to the abortion clinic. She was from Germany, going to Holland because it's easier to kill babies in Holland than Germany. And which is really interesting. You would think because of the Nazi Holocaust and so forth, because of the Nazi Holocaust, Germany became more conservative toward just killing people, you know? So laws like, you know, that were pro-euthanasia, killing babies in the womb and so forth, not that they don't have some of that going on in Germany or movements toward that and abortion and so forth, but they became stricter because they realized the horrific evil they had unleashed on the country that Hitler did. And Hitler started, he was aborting babies. Then before you knew it, it was, you know, killing the old and infirmed and those of different races and so forth. And you notice a lot of the people that are for euthanasia, they're almost always pro-abortion first, you know? So, you know, these, you know, birds of a feather, right? So it's interesting when you look at this is we do, and we encourage anybody out there that you may have had an abortion in the past. Mm-hmm. And Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid for that sin. You will see your baby, I believe, in heaven. You know, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 says, as long as there's been repentance, you know, and we've been asked for cleansing by the blood of Christ. And it's not just the women. It's oftentimes the men. And a lot of times the men are get a free pass. But there's a lot of millions of men. I mean, because there's only over 60 million or so babies that have been aborted in our country alone, right? And a lot of it took a lot of men to pull that off. Men like that doctor are performing them. Boyfriends, husbands have encouraged women, have encouraged their wives, have encouraged their girlfriends, have encouraged their daughters to kill these babies. So man, if you've been involved in any way, you need to go prostrate before the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me. Amen. I committed murder, so you can be cleansed of that sin. Very, very important. But understand too that in Christ, you know, the Bible talks about how we have redemption in Jesus. We have cleansing, we have forgiveness through his precious blood. So if you're trusting Jesus, you're not to be haunted by the past as long as you've repented, but be part of the solution. You know, be part of the solution now to that problem and bring awareness to what's going on. And even as this doctor stepped up, I love it. He could just say, I want to abort again. But he went to the front lines and he's saying, hey, this is what we do. It was wrong. And he's got to relive that in his mind to a degree every time. But he realized he's doing good now. So take what Satan meant for evil and now use it for the good by preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, and sharing the answer of life, you know? But I think it's interesting because we're seeing a culture of death, you know? Now, when you look at RuPaul, I mean, he's a cross-dresser. He's a homosexual. He's celebrating Planned Parenthood. You know, he's got all kinds of fans. And all these things go together, folks. You know, I used to, when I was young and I was a partier and I was a stoner, you know, you look at High Times magazine, you know, to celebrate, you know, pictures of these grandiose buds, you know, just these big pot leaves and plants and buds. Yeah. And it would glorify the drugs and the bongs. But you know what? There was also salacious sexual stuff. There were also advertisements for crystal balls and tarot cards, the occult. I just thought, when I became a Christian, I thought, wow, man, that's interesting. You get saved and you realize all that stuff kind of goes together, you know? And RuPaul is here promoting abortion, but he's also promoting transgenderism, you know, transvestitism, cross-dressing, homosexuality, and everything else. It's interesting, there's scriptures that pertain, moral principles that the Lord's given us that keep us from floodgates of evil. In fact, listen to what Deuteronomy 22:5 says and how it relates to, you know, being a transvestite or transsexualism, transgenderism. The Lord God states specifically in Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. I think it's interesting. It doesn't just say that doing those things is an abomination, but whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And this is very, very important because the Lord wants us to understand that there's a distinction in gender, and there should even be a distinction in the way that we dress. And somebody might get nitpicky and say, well, what does that mean specifically? And sometimes what people do, they'll pick on a verse because it's not maybe specific enough for them to just discount it. No, our heart should be, what is the Lord saying here? What is he trying to communicate here? I think it's pretty clear. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing. Whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Now we know, I mean, in societies the world over, there's distinction in clothing between male and female through just pretty much every ancient civilization to one degree or another. Even in Israel, when this was given, they would wear stuff that they'd throw over them and robes, but there was still a distinction in the way the women wore them and the way the men wore them, you know, and so forth. So it's important to understand that when we have babies and when a new baby's born and you go and look, and let's say there's 10 babies in there, and you know there's like a few females, how do you make, from the get-go, we show a distinction. What do you see differently?
Blue or pink?
The colors, yeah.
The colors. You see the blue blanket or the pink blanket, you know? And some will ask, is it a boy or a girl? They recognize there's a difference, you know? And so from the very
unless you're Celine Dion, you want to do away with that kind of stuff.
Which, yeah, which is a whole other evil yeah. commercial, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's so interesting. We always have gender reveal parties. You know, that's like a big thing now. Everyone has these gender reveal parties. No one ever, you know, just has like a white cloud come up and be like, we don't right. know, whatever it chooses, you know?
That's right. And so, I mean, to get a little bit more practical as to how this would, you know, how would you apply this? We shouldn't dress in clothes that are specifically designed for the opposite sex and the opposite gender. And of course, you're going to look according to the local fashion of the geographical area that you're in. But even today, there's men's clothing and there's women's clothing. We're not saying, oh, women can't wear pants. Some would, you know, no, there's women's pants and there's men's pants. Okay.
Yeah.
Women shouldn't wear shirts. Or there's men's, there's blouses that women wear. There's men's, you know. So if I saw my wife walking around in all my clothes, you know, hopefully she wouldn't fit. Otherwise, she better go on a diet, you know, because I'm like way bigger than her. But then there'd be some problems, you know, because it's like, hey, honey, or if I'm wearing her dress, there'd be a problem there too.
Yeah,
you know?
A big problem.
It'd be ripped up, you know. But there'd be a problem, you know. And we all know there's that this is serious before the Lord, because it started with years ago, by the way. It's all demonic when you think about it. When you look at the roots of it, Eusebius, I was reading where Eusebius, the
church historian, yeah.
church historian from the early centuries of the church period, and he talks about how when they'd worship Astarte, how they would masquerade in different clothes, you know, and, you know, men would wear the women's clothes, women wear the men's clothes, and so forth. Another historian talks about that. But when I was studying anthropology or ancient civilizations and the occult, I found out, wow, it's really interesting. When you look at shamans around the world,
yeah.
that many of them dress up like women, even though it's a taboo among their village and they know it's wrong, because he deals with the demons, and they're, you know, typically demon possessed, you know, and they would tell other people how to deal with their demons, and they would supposedly take their demons from them and put them upon themselves. That explained their own possession. Well, these are demon possessed people that end up being the leaders, as these deep principalities and powers would channel through these sons of disobedience who were leaders among these villages. They would often, over and over again, dress like women. And guess what they would also do? They would often take young boys as their lovers. Okay?
Yeah.
This is incredibly demonic. Now, the modern shamans like Jim Morrison, you know, he was the electric shaman, as Ray Manzarek's keyboard player would say, or the modern artists, many of them in the 60s, 50s, 60s, until today, guess what they would do? They would dress up like the opposite sex, you know? The hair would get long like the females, or just think of, like, you know, he just died, Little Richard just died recently, but he was, you know, he said he was possessed by sexual demons, which is kind of interesting. At the height of his career, he threw up all of his jewelry off of a bridge and claimed to have repented and come to Jesus. He went back and forth, though. That's kind of interesting, because he would constantly type in Little Richard and go to Google Images and, you know, type in cross-dressing. He was, and you're talking about from the 50s, you know, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and so forth, and Elvis Presley, right? But he was a cross-dresser. And then you go into the 60s and the 70s, you've got Mick Jagger, wore the eyeliner and the mascara at times, would fondle a giant inflatable phallus on stage. David Bowie,
yep.
you know, glamour rock, you know.
Like, yeah, very femme, like a female. Very femme.
Over and over again, you Beta. See guys doing, you know, top artists. And guess what this did? This basically was Satan's way of eroding our morals and eroding our distinctions between male and female, and saying as though it could be a matter of choice. Now, you guys have seen it. There's over 100 different genders by some people's list.
Uh-huh.
It's not biblical. It's not scientific. Science says there's two genders. Okay. If somebody is born with both genders, an amalgamation of both genders, we recognize that that is a, you know, that's a
It's just a more deformity. Difficult
It's a deformity, you know,
yeah.
that needs to be dealt with. But that's very, very rare, you know. But to choose
you can't procreate
the opposite
that way
gender,
either, yeah.
XX or XY chromosomes, you're one or the other. So it's really, really heartbreaking. What we see here is there's a ton of confusion now. So now you have people that are cross-dressing, promoting homosexuality, going on The Price is Right, also promoting the murder of innocent babies. And people are excited. They're clapping. Oh, this is great. He's giving to charity. And we're wondering why this world is suffering from pandemics and sickness and death.
Yeah, it's sick, because you have him, you know, flaunting and flouting up there. And it reminds me of Romans 1. because once they are given over to that depravity, they go read the end of Romans 1. Yeah. It mentions murder as one of those things, and that they give party approval to those who do so.
That's right.
And that is that's just such, if there was no other prophecy in the Bible, I could look at Romans 1 and see that RuPaul has been given over to the depravity of his mind. He is now walks around and acts like a female, and now he literally goes up there and gives hearty approval and raises money for those who will practice such things as baby murder. There's nothing worse out there than murdering an innocent baby. And Jesus was very, God was very clear in the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 6, something that he abhors is the hands that shed innocent blood. And you, right there, giving a dollar to Planned Parenthood, I'm telling you right now, you are
you're
complicit.
A partaker of their murders, mm-hmm. you know? And you say he abhors, hates, that's what the Hebrew word means,
strong
to hate, to abhor,
language.
Those who shed it, hands that shed innocent blood, given over to a depraved mind. That's strong language. In this text before us with RuPaul and others who are cross-dressing, all who do so are an abomination to the Lord. The word abomination there in Hebrew is something that brings great revulsion, great disgust. And it's interesting because we, you know, guess what? This kind of the things that we talk about aren't politically correct. It'd be easy. We could just skip over this stuff. You know, there's a lot of things that are acceptable within the world that are part of the Christian church, right? We could just deal with those things and be popular and tickle people's ears and not talk about repentance, not talk about Christ had to go through on the cross to save us, not talk about the abortion holocaust that's going on, not talk about cross-dressing, not talk about homosexuality. But as long as we have our freedom, we need to speak the truth, because if we love those who are caught up in killing babies, if we love those and care about those who are caught up in homosexuality and you know, have been given over to depraved minds, we'll speak the truth and say, hey, we want you to be saved.
Amen.
That doctor that you heard talking earlier in the show, he had been on the killing end of the babies. He was killing the babies, but he repented. Okay. God loved him. Tony and Chad and myself, we are all sinners, rotten sinners, you know?
Amen.
You know what? Before I was a Christian, I could have encouraged a girlfriend. I didn't, but I could have easily encouraged a girlfriend to have an abortion if I was in that position to, you know? So I recognize we're not holier than thou. We're saying, hey, guess what? We all need to be redeemed. Jesus died for all of us. He died to save all of us. So this is what's important. We have to get to the point where we grieve over sin.
Amen.
If we don't grieve over sin, something's wrong with us. If we could hear what the doctor describes, if we can hear that babies are being killed, if we can hear that RuPaul is getting money to kill more babies and think it's no big deal, we have to take our pulse spiritually. We have to say, hey, wait, where am I at spiritually? Because the Lord comes down in the book of Ezekiel on those who don't grieve over sin. And we can't get used to it. It should be a revulsion. It should be abominable to us. It should hurt our hearts. We should abhor it. We're called, not God hates sin, but he calls us to hate that which is evil. Romans chapter 12.
Verse 9.
And I'll tell you what, because you hate sin and you speak out against it, or you see someone that's cross-dressing, right? And you have a sense of revulsion and you're like, ooh, that's messed up. Your point out, a liberal would say, oh, that's wrong. That's wrong that you feel that way. No, you know what? I'm created in the image of God. And hundreds of millions of people don't have to be taught that it's wrong for a man to act like a woman.
It.
That's a feeling that God wants us to have. They're the ones that are wrong. Stay right and stay in with God's word and don't deviate from the right to the left and press on in Jesus.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.